Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. I hope you had a chance to join us this week. We've been talking about a very important but sensitive and often difficult subject, talking about the judgments of God and trying to understand the ways of God through the eyes of the saints, Scripture, and others, and understanding God's redemptive disciplines that he brings on his church and the judgment on the nations that he brings to shake the nations, to really stem the growth of wickedness and harm and to remove everything that hinders love and to awaken his church so the church can be a light and a source that she's meant to be, and really communicating to the world, to the broken, to the lost, to the poor, to the lame, to the alien, the true face of Jesus. The Lord is going to awaken, he's doing it now, he's going to awaken the church. He's also going to prune, and the pruning is a good thing. Some who've been faithful, he's going to prune back their branches, and there he's going to, as he said in one place, you know, if you've been faithful in little, you're going to get more. That's what pruning does. The Lord's going to entrust more to more people. He's going to give more of his graces and power to certain people because they're humble and they're trustworthy and they're faithful and their heart is set on the Lord, number one. And by the way, friends, it's important to understand, you know, in the world, there is a constant obsession with the beautiful, the powerful, the rich, and the strong, and the influential, the kings of the earth or whatever. And there's just a constant obsession with, you know, the greatest athletes, the richest people, the biggest stars, the most popular people, you know, the biggest politicians. And I guess that's natural, but I mean, it's just so obsessive and it misses a large point, one of which the Lord made for us this week in one of the readings at Mass, if you're able to get there. The Lord says that are very hard in the letter of James, where he talks about the partiality that we show toward the rich and the influential, and we ignore and often mistreat the poor and those who don't quite make it. And that's all because of pride and vanity and envy, jealousy. I want to be with the beautiful people. I want to be with the powerful, the rich, the comfortable people. I want to be with those who think that seem to be the most important because I want to be that way. That's who I am. That's where I ought to be because I'm like them. I'm not part of the herd, the ordinary folk out there. I'm pretty special. I mean, I think that's very common in the human heart. It's an ego flesh thing. It's good for us to know that God is completely unimpressed. I mean, completely unimpressed with the things the world is mesmerized by and constantly rewards and can't stop talking about. All the glitter, all the glitz, all the trophies, all the big bank accounts, the 5 homes, you know, you name it, the yachts, all that stuff. The Lord is not impressed at all. He's not impressed with the strength of horses, as you know, the psalm says that. But what he's impressed by, what gets his attention, is the humble, the lowly, those who love God, those who love their neighbor. It's going to be a shocker when people who are used to getting the front seat and they're used to people, you know, jumping up and saying, oh, come and take the front seat, you know, come be by me, come stay by me. When you get to heaven, Jesus said the last are going to be first. There are saints in the earth that are so close to God, that are so mighty in the kingdom, that the devil literally trembles before because he can't get access to them. Remember what Jesus said? In John's Gospel 14, during the Last Supper discourse, he said to the apostles, I won't be with you much longer. And they're kind of shocked. And they look, what do you mean? He said, well, because the devil's coming after me. But Jesus said, but know this, the devil has no hold on me. There was no place, you know, when we open ourselves, friends, through the sin sickness of our own heart, we open ourselves to name it. What is it? Greed, pride, lust, revenge, anger. When we act on those things, we give the devil permission to come and squat, so to speak, on our land. We give him access to us. And if you keep repeating excessive anger or watching porn or being greedy, stealing, lying, deceiving, you know, gossiping, stuff like that, it's like a handle can grow out. I remember a guy saying this many years ago. He was trying to give a vivid picture of the slavish condition we get ourselves into. He said, it's like you grow a handle out of yourself each time you do it, and then the devil can grab that and like a hammer. He can just beat you, beat you, beat you, which he'll do. He'll seduce you into doing those things. You'll say yes to it because your flesh likes it. And we're not mature in Christ, and we're not, you know, only by the Spirit of God through deep conversion, repentance, the help of the Lord, the grace of the sacraments, and the help of the friends. This is how we subdue the powers of the flesh that are in us. The sin sickness that's in the heart, we subdue it through the Spirit of God. But if we're not paying attention to the Spirit of God and our spirit is dull and we're lukewarm and compromised and worldly, the devil can lead us around by the nose. He'll lead us into trouble, and then he'll just beat us up there. He'll absolutely beat us up. So that's the condition and the nature, in some ways, of the spiritual battle that's here. And we often overvalue what's truly valuable. And that happens all the time in the world. Again, I don't have to repeat, but I'm going to say it anyway. All the glitz, the glory, everybody's like, oh man, I wish I had that guy's money, that guy, you know, you name it all. And what's totally ignored are the saints. That'll tell you all you need to know. It reinforces, it's one of those things that completely reinforces every day exactly what Jesus said about this world. This is not his kingdom. This is a fallen world under demonic forces. And Jesus is calling people out of it. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Come and enter my kingdom. Hear my gospel. Hear my good news. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Turn away from the direction you're moving in and believe and trust your heart to me. Come, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, become a new creation, enter into my glory, and come and live with me now and be a light and be a part of the counterculture of the kingdom of God that's in the earth, that has become a disciple. So, you know, the reading today at Mass, the gospel reading is Mark 8, verses 34 and following. It's the call of discipleship, Mark's account of it. And it says, Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, understand this. Jesus loves us completely, but he sets the terms of the relationship. We don't. He's not at our service in the sense of we dictate. He's the Lord. Becoming a disciple means you understand who you're dealing with, the King of all kings, the Lord of lords, the one who will judge the living and the dead, the one to whom you now belong. Coming to Christ means I left my former way of life and I no longer belong to myself. That's what he means here. Deny yourself. What does that mean? That means the self in us, that freedom, the capacity, especially under the unruly power of the flesh, to insist on my own way. I mean, the flesh left to itself is, I want everybody to serve me. I'm not going to serve anybody. But Jesus is saying you have to deny the relationship that you have to yourself, in which you insist on your own reality, your own truth, your own values, things on your terms. You cannot become a disciple of Jesus unless you lay that down. He knows we'll try to pick it up again, but he wants to know, in your heart, are you repenting and you want me to help you kill it? So deny yourself, take up your cross. That's daily walking in the kingdom. That's living a counterculture. Your cross is not just your physical suffering. That's part of it. But it's primarily, the cross is primarily walking in the footsteps of Jesus, because Jesus said, if you identify with me, and it's no longer you who live, but I who live in you, the world's going to hate you just like it hated me. And that's going to be a cross. You're going to be despised and rejected. You're going to be mocked and left out of things. You're going to have to stand and be a faithful witness, and you're going to have to endure hardship on account of me. So Jesus said, count the cost before you say yes. Finally, number three, follow me. I'm in charge. I'm building the kingdom. I'm giving you gifts. I'll deploy you, but you follow my leadership. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Those are the basic terms of entering into this relationship of discipleship that Jesus calls all those who are baptized into him to do. Because he's building a kingdom. He's the king, right? He positions us, and now we're at his service, and that's our great glory. Whatever he calls us to do, it's great. Now, it might kill the flesh, because in the world, we might have had all kinds of people worshiping us. All kinds of people at our fingertips, at our, you know, the snap of the finger, at our service and talking about us. And But you enter the kingdom and it's all over. It's like that saint, the man who Saint Francis, I think I read this story a while back where Francis went to visit the sisters, the poor Clares, in one of their convents. And the same time he was there, there was a guy visiting and a friend. And a friend happened to be the most famous singer in the world at the time, honored by the emperor. Everybody's wowed by him. He was super famous. And he's there, and he had never seen Francis before. And Francis didn't really know who he was initially, but this man heard Francis preach because sister asked him if he would say a few words. And when he did, he saw two big swords in the shape of a cross going from Francis's fingertips, from the tip of his head to his toe. And afterwards, he was so touched by Francis, and Francis pulled him aside, and Francis told him, repent. The judgment of God's at hand. Give your life 100% to God. And he did. He became a great saint. He became a great follower and a Franciscan, which is pretty amazing. So whoever wishes to come after Jesus, lots of people have entered the church, and you know, our brother priests might be listening, or bishops and other leaders and teachers and DREs and stuff. We cannot let people come to church on their own terms over an extended period of time. Let them come initially that way. That's fine. But people come to the church and act like they could be living in terrible circumstances in terms of sin. They could be, you know, coming to church once a month, but engaging in all kinds of stuff that is displeasing to the Lord, and they might feel totally comfortable where they're at. We have to preach the gospel in such a way that people understand and can see, and they get their mind renewed. Jesus goes on, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and for that of the gospel will save it. It's another powerful thing we have to deal with in determining a truth that we have to come to terms with as becoming followers of Jesus. So here we are at a time where there's a lot of testing and trial going to come. There's going to be a lot of shaking. We're going to lose things that we prize. Life's going to get harder for a period of time. It's going to be very disrupted and disruptive. Now, you could spend all your energy saving that, saving the gold, saving the comfort, saving the position in society, saving, you know, my recognition by the people I most want to recognize me. And Jesus said, if that's what you're going to have your eyes focused on, rather than focused and trusting in me, focusing on me, you can't be my disciple. He's that clear about it. So we're going to have to come to terms with that as we go forward in the days ahead as well. He said, what profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever's ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation. Here's how Jesus assesses what's going on. Faithless and sinful. The Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the Father's glory with his angels. I read that in a way that you might have missed the point. Let me read it again. He said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Wow. We do not want to get on the wrong side of this. How many today are ashamed and embarrassed by the teaching of Jesus? His hard teachings. He's got a lot of really hard teachings. He's very demanding. Jesus is shockingly demanding, as Peter Kreef said. And people are offended, ashamed, and embarrassed by his attitude. They call it hateful today. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed when I come in my kingdom power. Friends, let's get on the right side of that. Go wholehearted with the Lord. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.